What is up, Real Madrid fans? The Real Champs is back with another podcast. Well, our second podcast so far. Since the last time we spoke with you, quite a bit has happened. Quite a bit has happened and quite a bit hasn't happened at the same time, which seems like a very odd statement, but there were a lot of promises that I guess you could say were made that maybe haven't been fulfilled yet. Again, I'm here with two of our really, really great contributors from the Real Champs. I'll let them introduce themselves one more time to you guys, Christopher and Hassan. Hassan, if you'd like to go first, and then Chris, and then we'll get into our topics.
So it's your favorite potty mouth Brit. Social media handle, I guess everything's the Hass Corinne, so drop me a follow if you feel like it. I'll let go, Chris.
Accent FC back at it again. My Twitter handle is K_MC06 if you fancy following me too.
Awesome. Thank you, boys. So like I said, just to preface this whole podcast, a lot has happened, but a lot hasn't happened at the same time. A great way to kind of explain that is the first question. Julian has said earlier this week and kind of hinted at his, I guess, 2 weeks or so since the squad has been back training, that he's happy with the squad and that he's actually looking forward to this Real Madrid post-Ronaldo era. He seems quite optimistic about it. At the same time, Florentino Perez did mention that big signings are coming in the weeks after Cristiano Ronaldo was sold. We're not really seeing anybody just yet, apart from our young signings. What do you guys make of this? Has the management at Madrid kind of thrown their arms up in the air and said, oh, well, I guess we can't get anyone, so we'll just make do with what we have? Chris?
I'd agree with that in a sense. Like when we did the first podcast, there seemed to be a lot more options on the market. So Lewandowski's future was kind of up in the air. I think Neymar's future was kind of up in the air too. But since then, a lot all our targets just seem to have Hazard too was up in the air. But all our targets just seem to be locking down. Like no one's moving anywhere, and no one's going for a reasonable price. Like the fact that, well, up until yesterday, Rodrigo was probably like the most achievable target we had, and they wanted 120 million for him. It's just crazy. Martial seems like he might be on the market. I wouldn't mind seeing Madrid go for him. But yeah, I think it's a case of we just cannot seem to get our hands on anyone that we want for a reasonable price, and all anyone who we want in the long term is just not moving.
Hassel, what do you think about it? Have Madrid thrown their hands up in the air and become complacent with this, or do you think that there is actually something happening behind the curtains and we just don't see it?
You never know with Perez, do you? I mean, he can pull off anything out of nowhere. We saw it with Lopetegui's appointment. That was pretty much out of nowhere. I think even the Odriozola signing was a bit out of nowhere as well, because it looked like we were going to sign him last season and it just went dead quiet. And then we actually did sign him in the end. To be honest, I don't know. I'm kind of tired of predicting things now, because I've just realized football is an unpredictable sport, especially with Ronaldo moving and stuff. So I think predictions have pretty much gone out the window for me now.
So this podcast, we're going to stick a lot to transfer rumors, of course, only because we played one game, which we'll kind of get into towards the tail end of this podcast. But kind of sticking with this whole roster situation, suppose that Julen really is happy and content with the squad that he has. Do you guys think that it's even feasible to head into this season with the current roster, knowing that there is no, superstar player? I mean, there is Gareth Bale, but we all know the Gareth Bale situation. As much as he has done for this club, there will always be skeptics. But Hassan, do you think it's possible to actually start August 10th, I believe, is the first game, and win some silverware?
I don't think so, to be honest. I don't think there's a proven goal scorer in that side. I think Bale can nab you maybe 25 to 30 goals in all competitions in a season, but that's quite a stark step down from Ronaldo, who bagged 50. Benzema, just even in that preseason game, yeah, I know it's preseason, but even then he was still doing the typical missing sitters. I think he missed a few quite early on. And you can't really expect much from Vinicius just yet. So it's kind of, I mean, are you expecting Isco to pick up more goals this season? It's quite hard to tell. I don't think this squad's good enough to be winning silverware against, the likes of Barca and Atletico in the league, and then Europe's elite in the Champions League. I'm not so convinced by that.
Christopher, what do you think? Do you think that there is some mini dark horse, in a sense, that's just sitting in our squad right now who's going to pick up the goal-scoring tally for us? Or do you think that it's going to be quite a season for Real Madrid?
I don't know. My own opinion of this is that the goal-scoring issue last season was kind of overblown because... Well, Ronaldo was suspended for the first five games, obviously, but then he came back, and I feel like with what we know from Zidane's departure, he was obviously beginning, his motivation tactics were beginning to wear out, and we know he wasn't a great tactical coach, so I think it was, since his motivation was wearing out, and kind of, we know he wasn't a good tactical coach, Zidane got a bit figured out last season, and it made our issues in front of goal look worse than they actually are. At the same time, I think there's plenty of players there who can score goals, but I think like in the semi-final of a Champions League with this roster against Juventus or someone like that, I think, you know, we're gonna get hurt for it.
Well, let's just hope that's not the case. Of course, Julian is quite a tactical monster, at least what we've seen with the Spanish national team. So hopefully he can bring that to Real Madrid, and that'll help out the squad. And yeah, that scoring issue, I really hope that gets resolved somehow. And somehow, somebody manages to pick it up. To be honest, I'd be very, very happy if it was Isco. The golden boy, one of the golden boys of Spain doing it would be very nice for him, as well as all the Isco haters out there. I'm not sure why there are so many Isco haters, but that's okay. We'll discuss that in the one game that he doesn't screw up this season. Anyways, the Courtois deal seems to have fallen through. So every couple of days, I would say for maybe the last 3 weeks or so, we were hearing in the coming days, Real Madrid will announce the signing of Thibaut Courtois. We'll be hearing about the fees. We'll be hearing about the announcement. You know, we'll hear about the official communication. And we keep hearing that again and again and again. And it just doesn't seem to be happening. Do you think it's fallen through? Do you think it's still in the works? Is it done? Chelsea have said apparently that they'd like to run out the deal rather than let Real Madrid buy. So I'll have one of you tackle the first half and one of you tackle the latter half. If one of you are really keen on the has Courtois deal fallen through, just go for it. And do you think that novice will be, you know, sufficient for another season?
I'll let Hassan take it first.
Okay,
sure, no problem. I don't think the deal's fallen through as such. From what I have read, personal terms have been agreed. It's just the actual fee of the deal where it's sort of hiccuped. Chelsea are basically saying that they want a replacement before they let him go, but don't seem to be actively really looking for one. I mean, they signed Rob Green. I don't know what the idea was there. So I think I think the fact that they're turning around now saying they're letting Ryan's deal down is pretty stupid, because would you rather take the fee now and then be able to use that to look for a keeper, or would you rather be stuck in the same situation next year? The Courtois gone on a free and you still have no keeper. I don't see their logic there, but I do think this deal will happen. Maybe if it doesn't happen this season, it definitely will next season. But I think it'll happen late. I think it'll be a late transfer.
Christopher, Hassan kind of dabbled into it already. But do you think, like, what is Chelsea's logic here by trying to run out this contract, waiting until it's done, like Hassan said, letting him go on a free? What's the point of that? Do you think Chelsea are being a bit spiteful towards Courtois himself and maybe even Real Madrid?
I don't know. I think it might be because they just can't get a replacement. Maybe that's why. It seems very silly to me to run down the deal and let him leave on a free. But if they can't get a replacement, then I don't suppose they have any other choice. I'm not really too worried if this Courtois deal goes true or not. I kind of think if it does, great. He's great for like squad competition, and we don't have to worry about Kiko Castilla anymore. But if he doesn't, I'm comfortable with Keylor Navas in goal. I mean, I know he's prone to a mistake in that, but I don't think Courtois is a massive upgrade. So I'm quite comfortable with Keylor Navas starting next season.
So say we got Thibaut Courtois, who would be your first team? We would then essentially have five goalkeepers on our roster, I believe. Who would you guys want as your three to have for the whole season? Hassan, who would your three be?
In order. Strangely enough, this is a more of a feel-good thing. So first, I think first choice for me would be Thibaut Courtois. I think he should be... Maybe we should keep him in the league because I think he's more consistent. So if he can sort of manage to stick in the league games, I'd have Navas second choice, but have him for Cup and Champions. Very similar to Casillas, Diego Lopez scenario. And third choice, I think I'd rather have, you know, maybe promote Moha Ramos or stick Lucas Zidane in there. I genuinely never want to see Kiko Casillas anywhere near a Real Madrid goal again. I've never been a fan of his. I always thought he was just not very good at all. And then send Lunin out on loan, I guess.
Christopher, who would your top three be?
I like the idea of having, like, Courtois in the league and Navas on, in the Champions League, but for... Because I'm a big Navas fanboy, I'm just going to say Navas start and we work Courtois in rotation or something like that. I want the legend, Madrid legend, Ruben Yanez as the third choice goalkeeper. I think we should offload Kiko Castilla. I'd say Espanyol would be delighted to have him back. He's like a Hall of Famer there. He's very, very popular in Espanyol, surprisingly. And then send Lunin on, out on... Is that how you say his name, Lunin?
Yeah.
I'm not sure how to say his name.
Andre Lunin.
Yeah, well, our new goalkeeper, he can go out on loan and get needed experience.
Who did you say, Ruben Yanez?
Yeah, you know...
Is he still part of the squad, though?
I haven't heard him sold, so I'm presuming he's still there.
Pretty sure he is,
I thought he was sold last year.
He's the type... Like, if you ever watched the Madrid Legends game during the summer, mm-hmm. he's the type of goalkeeper that they call up because he's, like, not doing anything. He's just kind of sitting around. Yeah, he's still here. Oh, no, he's playing for Getafe now.
Yeah, I thought he did leave.
And he's always on Cadiz at loan. Well, that's a shame.
Well, we learned something new. So you have to redo your top three. Who's your top three, then?
Well, I guess I'll have Castilla on third choice.
Oh, dear.
If we don't have Yanez anymore.
You would have put in Lucas Zidane instead? Or do you not have the spite for Castilla the way Hassan
I've watched Lucas Zidane at Castilla, and he's not very good. He's not great at all.
He's like, quite small for a goalkeeper.
Yeah, he's not good. Like, the Castilla goalkeeping situation is Lucas Zidane starts, and Bellman, who's the better goal, is by far the better goalkeeper for Castilla, just sits on the bench. I'm not sure if that situation is going to change now that Zidane's gone, but like I don't really rate Lucas Zidane based on what I've seen at Castilla.
My logic behind it is a sentimental value. I wanted another Zidane name on the team sheet. Okay, I'm not over it.
Yeah, but... I think that's what it is. Yeah, I think that's
that would be pretty dope. But I mean, we also sold, I believe it's Enzo. At the same time.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
he's Alaves now.
Alaves. Yeah, I was going to say, pretty sure it's Alaves.
I felt kind of bad for him because I was kind of sad. It wasn't even like, hey, you're young, we get it. Why don't you go on loan and then come back in a couple of years? It was just like,
probably what will happen if he's good. I think he's supposed to be the better of his brothers. He's supposed to be the better talent of the three.
Yeah.
So
I mean, it's hard to say when your last name is Zidane. Like, you know,
you can't be
shy of perfect.
Kind of underwhelming to have a Zidane in goals, though.
It's upsetting, to be fair. I don't know what wrong. What went wrong?
Flicks in midfield and just being graceful instead of insane saves, or as it is at Castilla, really silly mistakes.
moving on from one end of the pitch to the other. We've discussed the goalkeeping situation. Now onto the goal scoring situation. Like Christopher said, we were supposed to have a replacement for Cristiano Ronaldo. It was supposed to be Mbappe. Mbappe said after the World Cup he'd like to stay. It was supposed to be Neymar. Neymar said, nope, I'm happy, I'm staying. Everyone around both of those players, people close to them, said, no, they are staying here, in fact. Then it was supposed to be Eden Hazard, and that one is still lingering. Now, we definitely need a striker because, like Hassan said, Benzema just isn't cutting it, even in the preseason. He's missed some sitters. Last season, he didn't do too well at goal scoring either. Marca ran a poll as to who Madrid fans would like to see as a striker. And believe it or not, Harry Kane won by quite a margin. Do you guys think that he would fit well? First of all, probably isn't that feasible that he comes anyway. But let's just suppose, because anything can happen as it is. Hasan, do you think he would fit well at Real Madrid?
I don't think it's a case that he fits well. It's just there's a lot of hype behind Harry Kane. I think to some degree it's overhyping. If you look at his World Cup campaign, for example, it's a lot of English media I'm citing here as well. They're saying, oh, it's how great to see another Englishman win the Golden Boot, etc. Three of his goals were penalties. One bounced in off his arse. And then I think the other two he did score were pretty much open net sitters anyway. So he scores a lot of penalties and stuff. I'm not sort of completely bashing him, but a lot of people like he's just second or third best striker in the world. But I don't agree. Some people even think top. I think he'd be good, but I just don't think he's the best one because, A, he can't really create chances for himself. Like, Benzema, for the stick we give him, you can see he'll probably be able to final third and create a chance for himself. Same with Bale, and same was with Ronaldo as well. Kane simply cannot do that. He needs to be fed continually, and I just don't think he'd be the right kind of player we need there.
Chris, Hasan,
that's my thought.
Sorry, go on.
So that's my thought on it, at least. Anyway, there's other options out there that I think would be better suited, but that's another topic in itself.
Well, Christopher, Hasan thinks that Harry Kane needs to be spoon-fed. What do you think? Do you think it would make sense to have the Harry Kane here at Real Madrid as our number nine?
I buy into the hype of Harry Kane. I mean, I know his England campaign wasn't extremely impressive, but he still, you know, he scored the goals. And when you look at Wayne Rooney, who has one goal in World Cups for England, you know, and who they're scored against, there's obviously something about it that English strikers struggle and Harry Kane didn't. So, you know, that's something to take into account. The other thing is that he's a monster for Tottenham. He is a fabulous player for Tottenham. And it's not just his finishing, but he has such a range of passing. And, you know, we talk about Benzema's link-up play, but Kane has that in his locker too. The only issue is I do think his heart's very much set in Tottenham in England and kind of getting Alan Shearer's record for Premier League goals. And I don't see him moving abroad. I think he might stay. He's going to stay in England for a fair bit of his career.
Well, British players, I think, as a whole, apart from a few, don't seem to have the greatest track record at Real Madrid as it is. But again, that'll be a whole other topic we could cover on another day. From one striker to another, Edinson Cavani, 31 years old, striker at PSG. At the beginning of that first season, when Neymar went there, there were obviously issues between the two of them. Who's going to take the penalty? I'll take it. No, I'll take it. They're just fighting like little kids in a schoolyard. He's, like I said, he's 31. He's a great striker, though. I believe I saw somewhere he scored at least 40 goals for the last 5 seasons for club and country every season. Do you think that he is a viable option? Like, would either of you even cough up the money for Edinson Cavani at 31 years of age? Or would you rather just let that pass and see if you could get somebody who's younger at an option that would last, maybe a few years more? Chris, what do you think?
I think of all the options, I think if we're talking around Rodrigo price, 120 or million or more, I think of all the options, I would not mind coughing up that type of money for Cavani. I think he fills the spot. He scores. He has the numbers to back it up. He is the perfect. And if it comes down to it that we only have him for 2 or 3 years, I do honestly think that we could, if he continues his current record, we could recoup a lot of that money in a sale of him. The only issue is that from recent reports anyways, Thomas Tuchel has just completely ruled out that he's leaving.
Well, there goes that. Like you said, recuperating the money wouldn't be too hard. Of course, Real Madrid is a Spanish club. Uruguay is a Spanish-speaking nation. Real Madrid have quite a few South American fans. You can figure they'd buy a lot of jerseys, like you said, and recoup that cost. Hasan, I think we'll just hop on to the next thing. If Thomas has said he's not leaving, he's not leaving. No sense in even talking about it. But what I will ask you is this whole Kovacic conundrum? During the World Cup this year, he says, you know, essentially, I want to leave. I'm not really getting the minutes that I believe I should be getting. I want to grow as a player. I want to be able to play. Seems completely natural. I think anyone in any profession would leave if they feel they weren't getting the growth that they wanted. He gets a few offers for Manchester City, some other clubs. I believe his old club, Inter Milan, even asked him to come back. He's now got one from United, but he said he doesn't want to go there. At the same time, Real Madrid are saying that they're keeping a tight leash, or a tight grip on him, rather. So what's the deal there? They've let Ronaldo go, but they won't let Mateo Kovacic go. Do you think that kind of hints at the whole Luka Modric situation as well?
Well, first thing, I don't blame him for rejecting United, who the hell wants to play for Mourinho. Secondly, I don't blame Madrid for keeping a tight grip on him. I think he's obviously got world-class talent, but at the same time, you can't blame him for wanting to play more minutes. I think Zidane didn't give him the minutes he deserves. But I think, given the kind of characteristics of player that Lopetegui likes, and you saw the amount of game time that Thiago got under him in the national side, I can't see why he wouldn't get the game time this season. But again, you obviously got to think in the mind of a footballer. You want to be playing, you want to be winning things and being a contributing factor to that. So I'm not too sure. I don't think he'll go. I think he's just trying to play a hard bargain, really, and get guaranteed minutes out of them, basically.
Chris, do you think that Kovacic is trying to maximize his leverage here and get the most that he can, and, you know, kind of like a promise, a gentleman's agreement with Real Madrid and getting more minutes? Or do you think that he actually could just leave this summer?
I think he's playing the hardball. I think he wants to get more minutes, and he thinks if he goes to the press and starts talking, he'll get them, which is a fair assumption. I mean, Isco has done it twice or three times, and it's worked for him.
No,
I don't think... He did it in January. He got, and it worked to an extent. I don't think he's going to leave. I think when these rumors started, the worry was what was his release clause. I think it's quite clear now that it's not as low as it's been reported. I think if it was that low, he'd be gone by now. He's tied down till 2021. I think he'd definitely be a starter by 2021. I'm not certain what is kind of game time going to be next season, but I think he's going to see a sizable more minutes than he has in under Zidane, we'll say.
Well, let's hope that is the case, because I truly enjoy seeing Kovacic play. He's got amazing dribbles, good pace, and the one thing I love about him is his defensive ability to be able to track back and make tackles, stick his foot in there, and get the ball back. I think he's a solid, solid midfielder. And like you said, you know, around 2020, he'll probably end up being a starter. I think that'd be awesome. His fellow Croatian, on the other hand, and the gentleman who plays somewhat the same position, Luka Modric, is still vacationing in Italy. Of course, he went all the way to the World Cup final. He was a Golden Ball winner. He had 3 Man of the Match awards, played an insane number of minutes. Apparently, Inter Milan are interested in him. Do you think Madrid should sell him given the amount of options that there are in the midfield, or is that trying to pass the baton on just a little too early? Hassan, what do you think?
It's kind of tricky to say. I'm not too sure what the reported transfer, but I wouldn't even entertain the idea of selling him. I think you're going to completely destabilize the squad if you do that. Simply because Modric's abilities are still not really... There's no one that really fully replicates them to a complete degree. Kovacic covers some of it, but not all of it. I just don't see the point in letting both Ronaldo and Modric go in the same window. It would be really foolish. I don't think they should sell him at all. I don't think they should even consider the offer.
Chris, if you're Florentino Perez, are you just taking this offer from your desk to the trash bin, or would you take a quick glance at it?
No, it's going in the bin. Modric, I think we've seen from that World Cup last summer that Modric is in the conversation as one of the best midfielders ever to play the game.
Definitely.
He's a unique talent. He has been a real loyal servant to Madrid, and it's no circumstance that the peak years of Modric has seen Madrid win 4 Champions League in some 5 years. He's getting on there in age. I don't know how his form's going to be after this World Cup. I'm interested to see how that run to the World Cup final will impact his mentality in that. But I'd never sell him. No, I think he's a fabulous player, and I think we should hold on to him as long as humanly possible.
I totally agree with you with that on every account. But just a little sidebar, because I feel that with the 2018 World Cup happening in the same year, is it just me, or does it feel like the fact that we've won 4 in 5 years and 3 in a row is a little overlooked? Because it still blows my mind that we actually did that. And I feel like it just became, you know, 4 in 5 years is like 80%. And it just became like such a common occurrence. I was like, oh, well, I guess they did it again. But like, do you think the coverage on the World Cup somewhat impacted the sheer like ramifications of what Real Madrid had just done? Honestly,
I would think it's not so much the coverage of the World Cup. I think it's the fact that Madrid have gotten to the semi-final so many times in the last 10 years. They've gotten to the final 4 times out of 5 times. They've won it 4 times out of 5 times. I think we're just getting numb to winning the Champions League. Like, I challenge any Madrid fan to try and think of what we're going to feel like when this run, if this run ever ends, when it ends, like, how will that feel? I just cannot. We go in it to it every season and we're like, surely we can't win it again. And then we win it again. It's just, it's hard to fathom. It really is hard to fathom.
It's just weird to think about, because I think about telling my kids this one day and be like, listen, you think you know football? I watched Real Madrid at their peak. We won 3 Champions Leagues in a row. I don't know. I just think it's absolutely insane, like, to really like comprehend what they've done. And I'll be completely honest, I think this last Champions League final didn't feel as invigorating as the other ones did. And I think that just came down to like the sheer confidence of like, yep, Liverpool, sure, we can totally do this. No worries.
I think it came out to the opponent, to be fair. Like, no disrespect to Liverpool, but compared to Juventus and Atletico Madrid, then they've not been at that forefront for I don't know how long. So it kind of, I think that made an impact. It wasn't as much of a draw. I mean, yeah, they played some fabulous football last season, don't get me wrong, but that's the first time we've seen Liverpool at that stage for how many years? Was it since the last time they won it, pretty much? Yeah, there you go then. So an 11-year window of them pretty much being irrelevant. It's hard to kind of buy into that. Whereas Atletico Madrid, for example, made the final only a couple of years before the last time they did it. And it's been a pretty much consistent punch in the face for a lot of people.
Now that we're on this sidebar, I'd just like to ask one more question to you guys. Have any of you seen Jurgen Klopp's comments on the Ramos incident?
Oh, yeah, I have. I've got one response to that. Jurgen, shut the...
All right, that's Hassan's take on it. So we're just going to wrap that segment up. That's our sidebar for today. Moving on, lots of talk about Vinicius staying with the first team. So basically the situation was initially his old club were saying, no, please, can we have him a little bit longer? I'm not sure if any of you know, but the Brazilian season actually ends in December. It starts, I believe, in April or May. So they have a bit of a different schedule compared to how football is run in Europe. Now, Real Madrid said, no, we don't care. We want him. Sorry, you're going to have to make do without him. He's our player at the end of the day, which he is. They have all the rights to him. Completely understandable. Now, many people thought he would come to Real Madrid, he would take part in the preseason, and then he would be sent out on loan. What has happened, though, is he's come to Real Madrid, he's been a part of the preseason, we've seen him in the training camps for the last 2 weeks, and my God, he has blown minds. I knew he was good, I knew he had that Brazilian spice and everything nice, but he is really just I think he's really just amazing. Like, he's a joy to watch. Touch, pace, dribbling, great shot. I mean, I don't know what he doesn't have. Maybe aerial dominance, like physicality. I can't really think of anything as of yet as to what he doesn't have. Do you guys think that, you know, he's been rumored to be the next successor to the left wing in that role? Is that too early to make that kind of judgment? And do you think it's even, like, viable or, like, feasible to say, yeah, sure, let's keep Vinicius. We don't need to send him on loan. 18 years of age. Let's have him head up the left wing with Marcelo on that side. Maybe the Brazilian connection will help out. But I don't know. What do you guys think about that?
I think he's a mega talent, to be honest. I mean, you only got to watch. I think he spun Fosu-Mensah really well since Depo was in the last game. Yeah, he showed in glimpses and flashes, don't get me wrong, but he's still only 18. But I think he really does have some ridiculous ceiling that he could potentially live up to. The only thing that is annoying me is a lot of people saying the new Robinho. I don't agree whatsoever, but I think keep him in the first team and just rotate him in and out, and I think you'll see the best of him. I mean, it was just, I don't like comparing him with Mbappe, because obviously Mbappe is a complete freak, but that's how it worked with him. They sort of threw him in on a whim, and it paid dividends. I think that's what we should do, especially in like Copa del Rey games and stuff against, you know, the lesser Spanish sides. I think he'd be the perfect player in there to really grow as an attacker.
Chris, what are you doing in your office in Madrid? Are you drawing up a loan contract, trying to send him out to get some more minutes elsewhere? What's your take on it?
Well, I was excited about him until I didn't realize the Brazilian league, kind of in Ireland, the Irish Premier Division works like it goes through March till October. So I presume the Brazilian league, something like that. So with that in mind, we do have to keep in mind that he'd be the fittest player in the squad and in this preseason, because he's just come off playing regular season football in Brazil. Having said that, he mentally, like, the confidence he has just to come on and do his thing at Madrid, like at 18 years of age, is just crazy. Even in preseason, we don't really have many options in attack, so there's a little part of me that's just saying, why not take the risk and go for it, you know? I mean, there's, like I said, there's no options up front really at the moment. Why not just take the risk on Vinicius and see what happens?
I think that's a fair option. And like you said, like, he does have a kind of swagger about it. You know, that first training session, you saw the videos, you saw the photos. To be fair, if I was signed by Real Madrid tomorrow and I had to fly there, go be a part of the training session, not only would I not be able to focus at all, I'd be so starstruck. I think it'd be literally impossible for me to be able to do that.
But look, something like that.
but his confidence and just doing, you know, little small activities like a soccer tennis game with Karim Benzema. You see Benzema posting photos of the two of them, you know, adding each other on Twitter. Like, I think it's kind of cute in a sense that they already have this connection going on.
Yeah, if you look at his Instagram page, I mean, Benzema is what, 30? He's 30 on paper, but like, on the inside, I don't think he's 30.
I think it's not just that. I think it's because he came to Madrid. What was he, 19 when he came to Madrid? I think something like that. 19.
Yeah, right.
I think maybe he's looking back and thinking, yeah, I was at that stage. I want to help these guys make sure they're comfortable and whatnot.
And I think that's really good, because I believe Roberto Carlos did the same thing for Marcelo.
Yeah, correct.
Back when Marcelo came to Real Madrid. So I guess it's nice to have kind of that big brother figure, in a sense, you know, coming to such a big club. But there's a completely different change in lifestyle, for sure.
I suppose that's kind of like the advantage of having reared like so much of this squad from a young age. Like, they grew up in Madrid. Mm-hmm. So there's a continuity in the sense that when another young player comes true, like Vinicius or someone like that, you got people in the squad who were in their shoes not so long ago and kind of can hold them by the hand and guide them through what they need to be doing to succeed at Madrid. I think Dani Carvajal is just he's the personification of what we're talking about here.
Yeah,
like Ramos to some degree, I guess.
Him and Nacho,
I think Ramos was 19 when he came to Madrid, something like that.
Yeah, Ramos too. It's brilliant, like, to have that sort of atmosphere in the squad.
Yeah, I really see your point, Chris, because Carvajal is obviously an academy player. So, you know, he's been all the way through from, you know, the youth ranks all the way to the first team. Like, he really understands, you know, the culture, not just in Spain and in Madrid, but, like, what it truly means to be a part of Real Madrid. And, you know, those are the kind of players you'll hear those comments from. Like, you know, they'll say something crazy like, I would bleed for this badge, but it's literally true. Like, you see Carvajal get stamped on, like, foot's bleeding, but, you know, he's still bossing it all the right way. But on to the left back situation, Hassan, I know you mentioned Teo for a second. You said him and Vinicius are apparently good friends. I completely overlooked the situation. I totally forgot to even write this down in my little agenda here. Mateo Hernandez is apparently, Mike, possibly God knows how many different synonyms I might need for this transfer window. But would either of you send him or would you keep him? What would you want to do?
It's kind of tricky because he showed in that one game that he did play like two complete different sides of him, because obviously he set up the goal with an absolute wonder cross, but then there was also moments where he quite literally shit the bed. It's one of those things. I think he's very much, he needs to eradicate from his game. I know it's kind of hard when you're 19 to eradicate immaturity from your game, but it's like he has one bad moment and his head drops and his legs get heavy, and it's like he panics almost. He needs to kind of try and find that mental stability in moments where things aren't going well. I think that's his biggest
Chris,
problem.
Chris, what do you think? Oh, sorry, Hassan.
Oh, sorry, carry on from there. Sorry, that was the last
one. I was going to say, like, what do you think about it? Like, is it even possible for Teo to get into that left-back role when Marcelo there? I mean, whatever Marcelo's age may be, he's obviously very, very fit. He's had his, you know, little blunders here and there last season as well. But, like, how feasible is it? Like, it seems to be a common theme amongst the youngsters on our team. We have great young talent, but there's just great players keeping other great players out. What would you do with Teo?
I don't know. You see, there's two ways you can look at it. I mean, I think he needs consistent minutes. That's one of the issues. I think he needs consistent minutes and confidence, and he's only going to get that out on loan because he's not going to get starts over Marcelo. On the other hand, you look at Marcelo, who rejected loan offers and he struggled up until recently. He hasn't been a great right back since he arrived. He's had to fight his corner a lot, you know, and I would argue that up until Fabio Contrao kind of just dropped off the face of the earth, we didn't see the best of Marcelo. If you look at Rafael Varane, I mean, it wasn't that long ago that Varane himself, we were kind of wondering, are those injuries going to stunt him? Are we, you know, should we be worried? Because we never saw, I mean, we saw it in his first season, and then he struggled himself, and he only came out when he's kind of only come out and shown his true qualities when Pepe left. So it's kind of a question of, do we want to send Teo out on loan and let him get minutes and get confidence, or do we want to let him, or does he want to stay and fight like other youngsters have? And, you know, that could go either way.
Well, talking about youngsters having to fight, let's just stick to this, you know, defensive third for a moment. Like you said, Varane didn't really get his chance until Pepe kind of got weaned out of that spot. Marcelo did really get his chance until Fabio Contrao, like you said, fell off the face of the earth. And for those of you who are curious about Fabio Contrao, he's actually still a Real Madrid player. He's just on loan in Portugal. But anyways, Hassan, I know you mentioned in our Real Champs group chat, you had said something about Jesus Vallejo, and I believe you said you don't rate him that much.
No, I did say that.
One is, why don't you rate him that much? And two, what's your thought that would you think that it'd just be better to send him out on loan, given that in the center back position, as of now, we have obviously Sergio Ramos and Rafa Varane, and then Mr. Jack of all trades, Nacho, to cover, God forbid, anything happens to the other two.
Well, the only thing I said that is because I see a lot of people hype Vallejo up to be like the next Fierro, stuff like that. Like, I see he's got talent. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying he's utter dog shit, but I just don't see the absolute complete sort of ridiculously high ceiling that everyone seems to rave about. Yeah, I know he's in the Bundesliga team of the season at one point. But it's like every time he stepped on the field, like I've not really been wowed by what he does. I think the one first game I watched him like play last season, he got red carded, and then there was the continual getting hurt and stuff. It's just like compared to obviously, I know you can't really massively compare the two, but when Varane was around the same sort of age, he was pretty much showing more than what Vallejo has. So I'd probably send him out on loan again, just so he can work on his fitness and the consistency.
Just a little, another little sidebar, just really quick. We'll talk about this in a different podcast one day. We definitely have to do it. But Varane just blows my mind, if you think about it. 25 years of age, La Liga title, 4 Champions League titles, couple Copa del Reyes, World Cups, and a flipping World Cup at 25. And it's not like he just rode the bench.
The man
even captained one of the games in
exactly.
the World Cup.
Varane's a stud, man. He's going to go down as one of the best ever. Watch. Mark my words, he'll go down as one of the best ever. France win the Euros next, and he has that to his locker as well.
I really hope he just stays with us forever. Like, I don't want to see him leave.
I think he will. I think he'll be the next big thing.
His trophy cabinet's going to be formidable if he keeps this up like 10 years from now. But I said it on Twitter there a couple of weeks ago. Varane's at that stage of his career where he could either spend the next 10 years doing exactly what he's doing, which I hope and I think that's what he will do, or there's this like crazy alternate universe where Varane just like says, I've completed football, I'm just going to chill out and throw my career away, and he just 10 years from now he's playing for Brighton in the Championship or something, and everyone's
no,
talking about
don't think
how,
that.
How this defender won the World Cup 10 years ago. So it promises to be a roller coaster one way or another. There needs to be like, we need to be on the Varane trail, because it's just going to be a crazy career. I can see it one way or another. It's going to be great fun.
I would rather see Varane just retire and go play in the Championship. No offense to any of our, you know, listeners who follow the Championship, but I think that would be quite the twist on his career.
Feature film backwards.
Sorry.
It'd be a real good feature film, I think.
It would. It'd be pretty dope. I think we should suggest it to him. We'll fund it, shoot it, direct it, the whole thing. It'd just be the story of Rafa Varane. By the way, did anyone ever watch that Keylor Navas movie?
No.
I couldn't find it in English. That was the only problem, like, subtitles-wise.
Wow, Hassan, you don't speak Spanish yet? So
I can't speak a word of it.
I'm just kidding. Okay, back to the real business. So we've talked about Vinicius taking over that left-hand side. The reports suggest that Marco Asensio will be the successor. May even get that number 7. God, let me just say, I would hate to be the person that has to wear number 7 right now, at least for a few years. How viable is that option? If you think about it, since he's returned from loan and been a part of this first team, you know, he's got an insane stat. Like, he scored in the first game of every competition he's debuted in. Absolutely beautiful. And every goal has been, you know, a diamond. They're not just sitters or boring goals or ones that, like, have you leaping off your seat like a maniac. But he's always been limited in minutes for some reason. I mean, the obvious reason. There was Cristiano Ronaldo. But now that there is no Cristiano Ronaldo, does it make sense? Like, could Marco really be the guy if he gets those minutes?
I haven't seen the consistency completely yet. I think that's the one that's really missing from his game. I think he needs to basically be able to do it on at least not every game, then every other game. So there were times last season where he was playing and he was just completely a passenger. I think that's the only was the reason Zidane didn't give him continual minutes, aside from Ronaldo as well.
Chris, what do you think? I know you're a big Lucas Vasquez fan, but are you a Marco Asensio fan as well?
I don't know. I think he can play in the center. I mean, I was reading there recently, just on the pressure of the number seven, like 5 players have played in the number 7 for Madrid, and none of them are names that we've forgotten. You know, we have the Stefano, Juanito, Ronaldo, Bertrueño, and Raul. So you know, it's crazy pressure, but at the same time, I think he's the perfect fit in the current squad. He's young. He's got white blood running through his veins, I think. I think he can play centrally. I was looking at his output over the last 3 years, and he's in limited minutes, he's gotten around 6 goals. This is La Liga, so he's gotten about 6 goals and 6 assists. His best season was with Espanyol, which was 6 goals and 10 assists. And he did that in 19 with consistent minutes, and he hasn't gotten them at Madrid. So with Espanyol, he played well over 2,000 minutes for the club, whereas with Madrid, he's played about 1,500 minutes.
I like the analysis paralysis there. Always love that someone looks up the numbers. It's awesome. Any other last thoughts on anything having to do with transfer windows? Or the transfer window, rather?
It's a bit sort of tricky. I mean, the only thing that I think we haven't discussed and I have seen is if Theo goes out loan, I'll sign Alex Telles, which I wouldn't be too rejecting of. I think he's a good player, Telles. I don't know if you guys have seen much of him, but I think his Porto he plays for, he's quite impressive, though.
Also, am I the only one that finds it weird that England's transfer window ends in, like, a week, but
it's
the
a good
of
thing.
Europe ends in, like, a month?
Yeah, no, it's a good thing for England, because it means then sort of, they could just get straight down to business, and you won't hear excuses from people like Mourinho again, saying that I couldn't buy this person, I couldn't buy that person, even though we spent 350-odd million in the last... I don't know how many windows, 2 windows.
R.I.P. Arsene Wenger saying, I nearly signed this guy at the end of every summer transfer.
Arsene Wenger's nearly signed 11 is bloody ridiculous. It's got Messi, Ronaldo in it, it's got Neymar in it, it's got Bale in it.
It's got Ibrahimovic in it.
It's ridiculous. I think it's probably still got Zidane in there as well somewhere.
No doubt.
I hate him so much.
Now to what's happened a little more recently. And also what's happening right now, I guess. The preseason is happening, of course. Real Madrid have traveled to the United States. To all of you who are in Europe, by the way, who keep complaining, oh my gosh, these games are so late. You do realize that they play at your continent for like 8 months of the damn year. And it's like the one time that we get to have them on our side of the world. So let us live. People are on Twitter ranting about how the game is so late. Just go to sleep. It's a preseason game anyway. It's not like you really care, but we do. So that's why we're going to talk about it. I know, Hassan, I think you're pretty indifferent about the preseason. You just don't give a damn.
Preseason doesn't mean anything to me, to be honest. It's just a way for players to get their fitness up and just for the clubs to show off their new shiny toys, really. I think that's the only way I see it. I don't see it as anything else.
Chris, you slept because you're sensible. Hassan's crazy and stayed awake until 1 o'clock in the morning to watch the bloody game. Had the game been at a decent time for you, would you have watched it? And do you even care about the preseason all that much?
If I had to write about it, I would watch it. But outside of that, no, I wouldn't have bothered. I'm the same as Hassan. I think it right now, in this current moment, it's all about fitness and getting fit and competitive. I mean, I know people have said that, oh, if you look last season, you know, issues from preseason carried over, but like we can't see, it's not a consistent thing. Like what happened last season carrying over doesn't happen every preseason. We don't see problems every preseason that carry over into the new season. So you need hindsight to say, well, that was wrong during preseason that carried over. So it really, without hindsight, they're just fit. They're games for fitness and for marketing.
Hassan, I'll throw this question at you just because you watched the game. I saw you blowing up the group chat like a nutcase. Excuse me. I was watching it at work, so hopefully my boss doesn't listen to this podcast ever. But who impressed you the most so far? Obviously, it's only been one game, really, so there's not too much to go on. But at the same time, Julian fielded 22 different players. That's literally two different squads. I remember a few years ago, we used to talk about A team versus B team. He literally fielded an A team and then a B team, which is nuts to me. But three players that impressed you the most against United.
So if I was to do it in order, I'd say Odriozola probably number one. I thought he was fantastic in that game. I think the overlap with him and Bale on the right could be absolutely filthy this season. I thought Ceballos was fantastic. Really showed why he is an absolute gem of a talent and people are sleeping on him. Third, I'd probably throw Vinicius in there. I really did enjoy watching him. I thought he was very good. So yeah, those were my three main performers, really.
Hustle, I'll throw this at you as well, again, because you watched the game. And Christopher was the only sensible person in Europe who actually went to sleep and didn't complain about it.
I can do analysis of my sleep if you want.
Well, we'd like to know, how many hours did you sleep? How many hours of REM sleep did you
get? Yeah, got the full eight, you know.
You got the full
eight. I don't remember any dreams I had, but I'm pretty certain they were pleasant, you know.
Okay, I'm pretty sure it's quite global, but here in North... Here in North America, like the healthy hour or the healthy amount of time to sleep is 8 hours. So if you did that, then I'm sure you're just fine. But Hassan, what is like? What's the point of fielding 22 different players? So for those of you who don't know, the preseason, the way it works is obviously you get an unlimited number of substitutions, but you can only make substitutions at 3 points in the game. Lopetegui made 22 in total, and that includes the goalkeeper. Would it have made sense to make far less substitutions and see what chemistry exists amongst the players, or what the heck, just go for it?
I believe this has been done before. So the last person I saw do it was Louis van Gaal when he was at Charlton United in his first season. Literally changed the entire squad at half-time. I think it's just so you balance the minutes out. Obviously, because it's their first pre-season game, they're going to be quite leggy anyway. But you can see Benzema was pretty much panting like a madman at halftime. So it's basically just to keep legs fresh, because you don't want to tire everyone out in one game, sort of thing. Especially when you've got bigger games also lurking in the next few days, and the Super Cup obviously was in the next 2 weeks, well, less than that now. So I think it was just to keep everyone fresh and on their toes and just rotate the team around, really.
A lot of Madrid fans on Twitter, from what I saw, not only from our official account, yes, I'm doing a plug for our official account, so please follow us on Twitter, at TheRealChampsFS, for a lot of this kind of information. But a lot of people were saying, here we go, the season's going to shit, we're not going to be able to do anything without Ronaldo, blah, 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 blah. Again, just a PSA for those of you who didn't know, Manchester United has played that game was their fifth game in their preseason. Don't be too hard on Real Madrid. They just played their first, and it was a 2-1 scoreline. Why do you guys think that fans are being so rash? As the Madrid fan base is quite horrible, to be honest.
It's horrendous, man. It's horrendous. But the fact is, Madrid always suck in preseason. It's just it's pretty much, you might as well write it in the gospel or something. It's always there. They always suck in preseason. I mean, I can't think of the last time they really showed up in preseason. Last season we lost a preseason classic. I think the year before we lost to United again. They always just don't really perform very well in preseason. But again, it doesn't really mean anything. If it's like a Super Cup game, like we had against United in the UEFA Super Cup, that was, you know, understandable that. Hold on, we play Atletico twice this year as well, don't we? So those kind of games you could take more seriously as parameters for the season. But like the ICC, for example, I couldn't give two shits about if we perform well in it or not.
Like the cup that's happening against Atletico Madrid in a few weeks, which we'll be covering, so stay tuned for a podcast on that as well. Christopher, Madrid is going to play Juventus this weekend. Do you think Lopetegui should use the same tactic, like Hassan was saying, just split the minutes, let everyone, you know, get a good stretch of the legs, get a run out on the field? Or because it is Juve, do you think that he should take it a little bit more seriously and field a decent 11, maybe make less substitutions to see if there really is, you know, any chemistry in the work so far? And another PSA for those wondering, yes, Ronaldo's gone to Juventus. No, Ronaldo will not be playing in that game. Many reports have said and suggested that Ronaldo's not taking a part in the preseason at all. So don't worry about that. The God won't be scoring on us just yet.
I think he should just do whatever he fancies doing. If he wants to try something new, if he wants to try something like you did in the last game. It doesn't really matter. This is the time to just experiment, see what works, see what's on offer. There's still a month of the transfer window left. I think people have overlooked that, and you know, the likes of Martial's there. You never know who could come available in the next month. So just experiment, see what's happening, see where the squad's at, and decide whether you want to go out and splash the cash when a player becomes available, or if you're happy with the squad and want to see a transfer window out now.
So YOLO, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Not that anyone says that anymore, but I do, because
that's what I do from time to time.
Oh, okay. So we're both cool kids then, Austin. I'm glad. Gentlemen, any final thoughts on anything at all that's happened thus far? Anything you're excited about?
Development of Vinicius is what I'm very excited about. That's the main thing for me, really.
Sorry, what was that?
The sort of the growth of Vinicius over the season. That's what I'm really looking forward to. It's all I can get excited about.
You sound like a very depressed Madrid fan, one that hasn't just won four Champions Leagues in 5 years. The life of being a Madridista, it's just never perfect, sadly. Christopher, do you have any final thoughts, or are you just going to go watch the Premiership football?
No, I'm a chronic optimist, so I'm looking forward to seeing how Lopetegui adapts. I'm looking forward to see if we don't sign a striker, where the goal is going to come from. I'm looking forward to. I think we have a great squad. I mean, regardless of the striker issue, that'll solve itself in time, I feel. But this season, I'm just excited to see all the new talent that will get minutes now, because Ronaldo has freed up that minutes. It's not ideal that Ronaldo did, but he's done it. It's finished. I'm just kind of looking forward to the future and how we get on.
Well, I genuinely love the optimism, because let me tell you, you send out good vibes, good things will happen. So if you're looking for optimism, follow the Real Champs and Christopher. If you're looking to just shit talk quite a lot, then follow Hassan, because he'd love to help you with that.
Rush the cop, I'm looking at you. I'm looking at you.
Sorry?
Rush the cop, I'm looking at you.
Anyway, gentlemen, thank you so much for another podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, wherever you are in the world listening, whatever time of day it is, we just want you to know that we really appreciate you taking the time to have a listen, to share your love of the beautiful game and the best team in the world with us. We hope you enjoy the rest of your day, evening, weekend, whenever it is, and we really look forward to seeing you here again. Like I said before, please drop us a follow on Facebook, Twitter, and now Instagram. We'll be doing a lot more stuff on social this year. Thank you so much, and have a great day. Bye.